All right. I've got a couple of very brief thoughts this morning, and I am going to keep things pretty brief because we get to baptize some people today. And the devotional I want to share with you this morning is called Christmas Changes Things. And I want to ask you, start off with a question, how has Christmas changed you? When you think about Christmas, maybe the first thing you think of is, well, I know Christmas has changed me because I got a lot less money than I had about a week ago. It's changed my bank account, or what was left of it. Maybe you'd say, well, it's changed because I've had to do a lot of busy house cleaning or a lot of busy, you know, house decorating, or I've been entertaining a lot of visitors. Or the question that I want to ask is, has Christmas really ever changed you? Has it changed you yet, perhaps, would be a good way to ask the question. And it's this time of year, and I'm really glad to report that on Black Friday, according to news outlets, there are only 14 people who died this year because of Black Friday shopping violence. And I think that's probably a great breakthrough. You understand the sardonic wit I'm using here. Should people be killing themselves or killing people for toys? I have a friend named Adam who got himself the hottest toy that they're offering this year. It's called a Hatchimal. And he got to the store and got the very last Hatchimal. He had it in his hot little mitts. Then this young girl came up to him, grabbed it out of his hands, ran over to her brother who was much bigger than Adam. And when Adam said, that belongs to me, the fellow looked at him and said, well, come and take it. And I'm thinking, well, glory, hallelujah, Merry Christmas. You know, is this the way we want to celebrate Christmas, with violence over toys? We think that lights and decorations and things of that nature are going to make our Christmas, you know, something beautiful, something, you know, Merry Christmas. And we think that the presents that we put under the tree are going to transform somebody's life. But truthfully speaking, most of the toys that we put under the tree for our kids and stuff for Christmas this year are just going to end up in a yard sale this summer someplace. And we think that they're going to change their lives. The only way they're going to change their lives is just going to give them more stuff to lug out to the front yard. And we ask the question, has Christmas changed you? My thinking is the way that we celebrate Christmas is not the way God would look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think he looks at us and thinks that we're kind of like way, way off base. They hurt others over the gifts that they want to give. And the gift giving overshadows the meaning of why we gather for Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong. I love giving gifts. I like getting gifts. Gifting is something I really, really like. This year we're going to be celebrating Christmas in the old-fashioned way. We're not going to be doing any gift exchanges probably this year because of our financial constraints. And that's probably going to test us and make us say, hey, wait a minute, are we really celebrating Christmas the right way? And I want to just give you a couple quick ideas this morning. And number one is this, that the Christ of Christmas has changed darkness into light. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 2. Isaiah 9, 2, if you got it, say, I got it. If you don't got it yet, say, hold on. Thank you for being honest. Oh, we got it now. Okay. Look, guys, if you haven't got it yet, you're in trouble. Abigail got it. She's like four. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in a land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. God has a different view when he thinks of Christmas. God has a different viewpoint on it than most of us have, because he wants us to know that the darkness around us is not all that there is. There's a lot of people that think that's what it is. The darkness around us is all that, that's just the best that we can expect. But this is what God says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is the light of Christ. We know that. We may feel as though we're in the shadow of death. We may feel as though we are constantly surrounded by trouble, but Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we can walk in that light. We can understand the light that the Lord gives us, because it shows us the way. You know what I'm talking about? It's like walking in darkness, but you've got a really great flashlight. And the Lord can do that for us. He can direct us through life. We know that. It can happen. But we need to recognize that the greatest change that needs to take place in our lives is not. Well, let me ask you this question. If you were to say the one thing in my life that I would like to change, the greatest thing I need to change in my life is, fill in the blank. How do you say your income? You know better than to raise your hand, don't you? You say, I'm not going to raise my hand. Nobody else is going to raise their hand. I'm going to raise my hand. But truthfully speaking, how many of you would say I could use a little bit more of that? I think we all could, right? But what if I was to suggest to you that the greatest need that you have to change, the greatest need that I have to change in my life, is my heart? The greatest need of humankind is not a bigger bank account. It's a changed heart. How many of you think you're going to go to Hackman's and buy a book? Hackman's is a Bible bookstore over here in Whitehall. How many of you think you can go buy a book and get a self-help book and have your heart changed by reading a book? How many think you can come to church and have your heart changed by listening to that blowhard up in the front of the church preach another sermon? The only thing that can change the human heart, ladies and gentlemen, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who works inside of you to recreate the life of Christ. And the only way that happens is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Five people this morning are going to give testimony to the fact that they have done that and that they want to live a new life in Jesus. The greatest need of the human life is not more money. No, I wouldn't mind trying that, would you? No, you wouldn't mind trying that. But the greatest need of the human life is a change in the human heart. And if your heart is changed, it changes everything about you. One of the first things that changes when you receive Christ is it starts to change attitudes. It starts to change your attitude. How many of you could use a little bit of that? A little bit of an attitude change. The longer I live, the more I understand the importance of a proper attitude in life. Because if you've got the right attitude in life, you can handle a lot of stuff. And the world can throw a lot of stuff at you. But if you have the right attitude, I think it can really make a big difference. It can really help. I believe that your attitude and my attitude is more important than our past. I believe it's more important than our education. I believe it's more important than our income. I believe that our attitude is more important than our circumstances. I believe it's more important than our successes or failures. I believe that my attitude is more important than what other people say about me, what they think, or what they do. I cannot change the things in the world that I can't control. But there's one thing I can control. And know what that is? My attitude. That's right. I can control that. The remarkable thing is that we have a chance and a choice every day regarding the attitude that we are going to use to embrace that day. Now, we can have an attitude that is walking in the light. Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. I want to have an attitude every day that shows the light, not one that demonstrates darkness. Does that make sense to you? I hope it makes sense to you. You can't change your past. You can't change the fact that certain people are going to behave in a certain way. You cannot change anything that is inevitable. You can't change the size of the line of the bank. You can't change the fact that the person in front of you in the grocery store going through the line that says 10 items or less has 17 items. I do count. She's heard it before. Can you believe that? That person in front of me, this is a 10-item or less line. They got 17 items. I can't control the fact that they can't count. But you know what I can control? I can control how I respond to them. I believe that life is not circumstances determining our behavior. I believe that life is more about how our attitudes come around in response to our circumstances. What do I mean by that? I believe that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% how we respond to what happens to us. Okay? I know what you're thinking. Oh, man, you just think you're so doggone perfect. I'll bet you that if you're changing a spark plug in your Jeep and the insulator cracks and you knock your knuckle against the block of the engine, you're probably not going to be thinking good thoughts. I guarantee you, you're right. But how I respond and behave because of that is a different story. A lot of useless arguing and complaining is going to take place in the next week. And I want you to make a promise. Okay? The promise is simply this. No matter what happens, you're going to be nice to people. Okay? You can make up your mind ahead of time to be nice to people no matter what happens. You're going to be arguing with people about how come you took so long shopping. Or how come you spent so much money on this? Or how come we're having a party and you didn't invite my family? Or how come we got to go to your family for Christmas? We never go to my family for Christmas. You went to your family for Thanksgiving. Why do we have to go there for Christmas? You know? We'll spend a lot of time arguing about stuff like that. Can we resolve to make this Christmas as enjoyable as possible for our family and the church by just agreeing to have a good attitude, please? I want you to know that you guys have good attitudes. If you didn't, you wouldn't be able to take the stuff I throw at you every week. And I preach at you hard. I don't soft pedal it to you guys. And you allow me to do that. And praise God, because that shows me you've got good hearts and good attitudes. A joyous Christmas is not going to be determined by the size and the number of the gifts underneath your tree. That sink in for just a minute. It's not going to be made joyous by the number of presents under your tree or by the size of the presents underneath your tree. The Bible tells us that new life is found in Jesus Christ, and there's no greater celebration of Christmas anywhere than to be in a home where the presence of Jesus Christ dwells. Because Jesus changes people. And when Jesus changes people, he changes the things around people. And he changes the way that people around you will understand you. And people are going to see that you're different. Sometimes it's going to cause hurt to their eyes. And they're going to look at you and say, oh, you're one of those holy roller Christians, aren't you? And guess what you get to say? I want to praise Jesus that he saved my life. And guess what? You need that. And you can say that's your relatives and be very popular and they'll invite you back next Christmas. Not. I'll tell you what. I would rather be in a household full of people that don't have a bunch of presents, but have a whole house full of Jesus, than a household that has a whole bunch of presents, but not a lick of Jesus. Wouldn't you? Every day is a gift from God, loved ones. Listen to me. Don't squander it. It's a gift. Every day you get up, the Lord has put a gift on your doorstep. And you can unwrap that gift, that new day, and you can decide how you are going to handle that. That's totally up to you. And you might say, oh, you're saying that. Oh, that's easy for you to say, because everybody knows that all you do is work one day a week and work around other people that just love you to death all the time. You're a pastor. You're not even really human, are you? We have a choice of how we are going to unwrap that gift. And you might say, well, I know that I'm going to have trouble this week because Tuesday this is happening, or Wednesday this is happening. I'm not really looking forward to that. Well, guess what? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And if you are walking with Jesus, you are walking with the one who has already overcome that problem you're facing through here with. Be grateful for the precious gift of life and spend it by being as happy and as thankful as you can possibly be. Dwell on the good things. Dwell on the positive things. When people look at your face, let them look at you and say, hey, wait a minute, there's something different about you. And let that thing that's different about you be the light of Christ that has come and invaded the darkness. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Guess who the light is? It's the light of Christ. We can add joy to every day by making somebody else happy by being Jesus to them. The second thing I want to share with you very quickly is the Christ of Christmas wants to change me. Say that with me. The Christ of Christmas wants to change me. Now, how many of you would say, that sounds good. If I really needed changing, I would probably agree. Anybody here say, well, the light of Christ can change others. I don't really need to change. But I'll say it just to get along with everybody else. The prophecy that we read about here in Isaiah chapter 9 came actually hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. 400 years, if my studying is correct. Let me ask you this. Do you think that if God can plan this whole thing out hundreds of years in advance and have the Savior come into the world at the perfect time to be the perfect sacrifice for a group of sinful people, do you think that if God can plan all that kind of stuff out, that He can effectively plan to see you through your little problems? If He can do that, He can help us with whatever our issues are. Now some are going to say, well, that's not fair because you said my problems are little, my problems are big. In the grand scheme of eternity, folks, how big are they, really? My grandma used to say to me, stop worrying so much. The things you're worrying about today, in 100 years, what difference are they going to make? She was right. Grandma Clark had some smart things to say. Some of you didn't know, maybe just even recently, that you'd make it this far, even to this Christmas, because of things going on in your life. And God wants to change you. Some of you might have lost their job, your job this year, and you're scared about 2017. Some of you might have had health crises past year, and you're scared of 2017. Some of you might have family issues, and you don't know how you're going to face them in 2017. Some of you didn't know about these things in 2015, and if you knew that 2016 was going to have all the troubles in it that it had, you'd have taken a slow boat to China. But Christmas can change us if we allow it to give us a new focus and direction in our life. The happiest people I've ever met are the ones that have asked this question, Lord, what would you have me do? Change my focus. Take my eyes off me and change me. Those are happy people. The most miserable people I know are people that think that the world revolves around them. Okay? You guys remember this one? This is the universe. That's you. Get it? None of it revolves around you. None of it revolves around me. What does God want to do in my life? Does He want to make that whole universe revolve around me? No. What He wants to do is change me so that I can be a game changer in the lives of other people. My friends, God wants Christmas to change us. Not just by making us poorer. Did you know that when Mary and Joseph got together, there were rumors going around that Mary had become pregnant by a Roman soldier? Did you know that when Mary and Joseph got together, she got pregnant in a mysterious way, and Joseph was thinking about putting her away privately, meaning divorcing her? Did you know that when Jesus got older, people looked at him and said, "Wait a minute, we know who you are. You're just that carpenter's son from Nazareth. You're nothing. How can you be the Messiah?" You know that all these things are going on? Did you know that the wise men lost their comforts of their kingly palaces back in the Orient to make this long trip over to where Jesus was in Bethlehem? Did you know that the shepherds, when they left their flocks, left their flocks? Think about that for a minute. Their job was watching over sheep, and they left them so that they could go and worship the newborn Savior. And they said, "I'm trusting God to watch my sheep while I'm not watching my sheep." There was a change in circumstances in the lives of all of these people. And it wasn't just a change of circumstance. I can show you, and I can show you in Scripture, that every single person that came to see Jesus that day, when they walked away from Jesus in that manger, they walked a different road than when they came in. And I think there's a point to that story. You cannot come into the presence of a loving Savior like Jesus and walk away carrying the same sin that you had when you came in the first place. He purifies and He changes. You hear what I'm saying? We cannot say, "Yes, I have met the Savior and I'm going to continue sinning in my life just like I did before I got saved." You walk a different road. Are we like Mary and Joseph, willing to risk being made fun of and being a Christian in our family gathering? Mary endured persecution because of her newly found pregnancy. Are we like the shepherds, our lives being a mess? Their lives are messy. Without much intention of serving God at all, yet open to the call of God in their life, that's what the shepherds did. King Herod, remember him? He heard the news of a newborn king and decided he wanted to do away with him. Simeon, one of my favorite people in all Scripture, was a prophet waiting for the coming Messiah. And the day came when he got to hold the baby Jesus in his own arms and was like, "This is it, man. This is as good as it gets. My life is forever changed. I can go to be at peace in all eternity with my Father in heaven. I could die today." That's the Daniel paraphrase. You will not find that on any bookshelf anytime soon. Jesus was a gift then. Jesus is a gift now. Amen? He wants to change you. What in you needs to be changed? Okay, the amen died off right there. What does He want to change in you? What does He want to change in me? Five people are about to get up and they're about to be baptized and they're going to say, "I'm dying for my old life and I want to live a new one." As we're baptizing these people, I want you to join in that testimony. This is your way of participating in the baptism. While they do the physical thing, I want you to say, "Okay, this is the old life. I want to walk a new one." Did you do that with them? Baptism is great for the people getting gifts. It's magnificent for the people watching because it lights up the whole congregation.